Andy, how's it going?
It's going. Yeah, doing well with football. I had some brief issues midweek last week that were just kind of outside of our control. It was a little stressful. We can talk about that later if you want. But yeah, the big thing is people aren't watching this. They're listening and like my office is just in shambles. It's like art is ripped off the wall. There's like, I got to do some patching on these walls. Like it's just a mess because like we're in the middle of a move. We finally move into our new house in a few days. And so it's like getting everything ready for that. And even though I feel like we don't have a ton of stuff, the stuff just seems to come from everywhere. It's like you pack 10 boxes and then it seems like you didn't put a dent in anything, everything.
Right. So shit's under the bed and in the closets. Yeah.
So we're kind of at that stage where we feel like we've done a lot, but it doesn't look like we've done much. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, how's everything on your end?
Nice. Yeah, things are good, man. Just we're recording this the first day of fall, and it's like, yeah, it's definitely fall here. It's been kind of shitty, but it's cool. We're actually in the midst of our team retreat. So 3 days, a couple hours a day. We can talk about it more after it's all over, but we had our first day yesterday and it was really cool. It was really great to be able to get together. We're doing it virtually. And yeah, it's just a lot of fun to have it kind of come to fruition. We've been talking about retreats in one form or another for like 2 years and kind of just said, like, not doing it in person, going to do it remote. And it's at a really good time for the company. Like we're at a kind of pausing point in terms of hiring. So like, this is the team that we'll have probably, you know, maybe in December we'll hire again, but now it's just time to kind of go heads down and do some work here in the next couple of months before the holidays. So it's a really good time. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to. I think that would be a good topic for next episode because, yes, it's like something I can see the need for as our team grows, as we've been heads down for so long of just like coming up for fresh air. Part of it is just casual shooting the shit with people, but also another just getting a little bit more strategic and including everyone in those discussions. So, yeah, I'd love to dig into that more, hear what you've learned, how it went in the future.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You're looking into or are working with someone on or an agency on QA, right?
Yeah, we have identified that like this is a move we need to make. And we don't have the solution figured out quite yet, but we are 5 developers and no QA people. And when I had a couple calls with QA agencies here in Europe, one in Romania and one in Ukraine last week, and they both said, "Oh wow, you should be a QA person for every 2 engineers that you have." And so I was like, "Oh, we're pretty late to the boat there."
Like a full-time person on that?
That's what they said. And I kind of take that with a grain of salt to say, like, of course you're like a QA agency. You would say that. But you know, like we identified this as a need because one of our developers very rightfully said, like, hey, and he wasn't being malicious at all, but just kind of like a really astute observation. Like he was like, I feel like when I have something that I'm ready to push out, there's no plan for how it's tested. There's no like documentation of how to test something. And there's no accountability on who tests it. Because like as a developer, like, yeah, he should test to make sure that it works like we want. But then like, what about all the other unintended consequences and interactions and breaking changes and in other areas and stuff like that. And so I really felt that too, because other than a developer, I'm the one that says, yes, this is good. Let's push it live. There gets to be this, and not in a bad way, but like this kind of passive aggressive, like, well, do you think it's good? Well, do you think it's good? Do you think it's ready? Do you think it's safe? And like, that's just not like passing the buck like that is just not okay. And so, yeah, I mean, talk to a few of our friends and turns out like a lot of companies with smaller engineering teams than ours have like full-time QA people. And so the question for us is like, is that a person in-house, you know, that's like, you know, kind of a junior developer that does QA and then they'll be promoted to being like a full-time like feature developer in the future? I think that's one model. And the other one being like, do you hire a QA agency? So they maybe are a little more expensive, but bring all the process and all of the, yeah, you know, the kind of built-in way they work with them when this person comes in. So yeah, so talk to a couple of agencies. They were really similar, which is good. It means that like I think we're kind of whatever, barking up the right tree, like looking for the right kind of thing or a similar kind of thing, I think. But one of the things that I think is a question mark for us at this point and why we just haven't moved forward is these QA agencies want to work in an environment of like big deployments. Like, okay, we're going to deploy an app update every 2 weeks.
Because that's what I was wondering. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't do that. And we're trying very hard to get even further away from that. You know, like we do, like when we release a big feature, a lot of times it's like, hey, this is a big deal. Everyone hold on to your chairs. Let's see what happens. We're trying to get to like, okay, we wrote the controller code, ship that, you know, under the hood. Hey, we did the database migration, ship that under the hood. And then the last thing is the UI that ties it all together and like really enables a feature. And we've done that a few times, and we're getting to the point of like implementing more feature flags and things like this to where we can stage a feature deployment over, you know, multiple days or weeks. And their preferred way of working is not that. And so we're a little back, I guess, to the drawing board, to be honest, because like when an agency says, yeah, we can work like that if you want, but it's not how we normally do things. Like to me, being on the other side of that, you know, when a customer comes to us for like Castos production stuff and says, hey, do you do this or do you do that? And we say, yeah, we can, but it's not really right. Like it's going to cost more. And
yeah, it's always going to cause headaches.
And it's just like it breaks, right? Everything breaks. And so I think where I am, and I'd love to hear people's like feedback on this. So shoot us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com, or hit me up on Twitter, is like, I know several people who have in-house QA folks who hire junior developers. And they're like, and the expectation is set very clearly up front. Hey, your job is going to be QA and you're going to be a QA engineer for a year. And then we'll promote you to, you know, whatever, you kind of full feature developer. It's not a support person, it's a QA person. And I think that's really important differentiation, because I think doing this, like bringing in a developer who only does really high level technical support and bug fixes is like, just not cool, you know, for a developer. But I do think there are certain developers who want to come in and do QA as a way of getting into SaaS and getting into, you know, a startup like this.
Not to to derail this, but like, I don't see the bug fixes of being like, I know people can burn out on that if that's all they're doing, but I don't know. Like, it almost seems in my head that if I'm just identifying the bugs, but I don't actually get to fix them, like that's almost worse. I don't know. Like, I know it's a role that exists, but like, to me, I could see a junior person coming in and being like, here's a list of bugs you already have, like work on these things when we're doing a new release. You can do QA on that and then like fix some of those issues. If it's hairier, we can have one of the more senior people do it. I don't know. Like that was the role that was kind of coming together in my head.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that like in my mind, the person needs to be really technical. They need to be pretty nimble, because it's not just, and for us, it's even more complicated probably, because it's not just our Laravel app, right? It's the WordPress plugin and it's our mobile app, which is React Native. And like, they need to be able to not necessarily code, but to test all of those and be able to do it where like we release updates, you know, hopefully multiple times a week across those three products. I don't know what the answer is right now, but I'm leaning more towards it being like an in-house position as opposed to hiring an agency, just because I think it's not how most QA agencies work. And like, if we can find the right person who is into, yeah, you know, QA, potentially kind of bug fixing as like a more junior person, that would be great. But I guess the caveat there is they have to really be into that. You know, it's not like, I'll, you know, kind of do my time until I can kind of be graduated to be a feature developer.
Taking a step back, QA, quality assurance, right? How would you define what their responsibilities are? Like, it's strict QA roles, basically just making sure that what was built is what was supposed to be built and like doesn't have unintended consequences.
The process that they described was actually really enlightening and is how I would like a person to do this in our group. It starts when you begin speccing out a feature. You know, it's like, hey, we're going to add this field. Okay, you're going to add a field. Like, does it need to have a certain type? What happens if you enter an email address when it's supposed to be a number? You know, like all these kinds of things. Like, so like, what's the happy path, you know, developer term, and what's the sad path, you know, and kind of ask critical questions to the product people and the developers to make sure that we're building the right thing from the beginning. Cause like, as one of them said, like the easiest bugs to fix are ones before they even happen. And so like, it goes into like product and speccing out a feature at the very beginning. And then they write test documentation for a thing, you know, like, okay, this dashboard page, you need to test this and create this thing and destroy this thing and refresh the page and all this kind of stuff. And then the developers go and write the code and come back and they're ready to test it. And they test against the test plan, which is created from like the feature spec. And then, yeah, testing that with other interactions that could kind of be touched by the thing. So like if it's a signup process, then like signups and cancellations and payments and things like that, but probably not like the player, you know, for us.
If they're not, it seems like for the like the actual QA part, they don't need to be a developer.
Correct. Yep.
Why is this not someone from product's responsibility? Because I just feel like you have to take out the ideas and everything from the product person's head, translate that into something that's understandable by someone who might not be as close to all those strategic decisions, then have someone build it, then you're having another person check all of that. And it just feels like the most straightforward path is just like have the product person do the QA. And that's maybe not like the highest value thing they can do, but it just seems like it's way simpler. This is like outside of my realm of understanding. So I'm just trying to wrap my head around it right now, because that's what I think would be the most difficult part for us is we don't have a clearly defined product process. And I think we could improve on that. But like when we've tried to even just have better technical specs, we spend so much time on those that like it's just easier for Matt to like it's faster almost for Matt to just build a lot of things rather than spec it out clearly. And so what we've prioritized is like getting Eduardo and other developers who just don't need as much spec. And then on the product, it's kind of like Matt and I will own that, where it's like he and I will discuss how it will work and go through that for a lot. And then Matt will get like a loose specs up and like talk to that. And then like we're all testing it. And we kind of, I don't know, like I don't think this is the best path by any means. But I just would, for me, I would just worry that we're adding more cooks in the kitchen. And like it's just another person that has to understand exactly what this is, when our probably the shortfall of us not having a clear product process is that we often don't like, until we actually start using it, there are things where like we just don't realize, like, oh, maybe it should have worked this way or that. It's like we try to be as thorough as possible up front. And like I'm super anal about things, so I think it'd be hard for me to like be more thorough. But I think with more of like product training, I could get better at it. But right now it's like, okay, we can get pretty damn close. And then we almost expect that there's going to be some hands-on feedback to shape it up a little bit more. And maybe as part of me is just like the fear of delegating that away, but it just seems like it would slow us down. And I don't know, like just add complexity where I don't know there's value there. And so like, is it because you feel like you don't have someone on your team who could own that from start to finish? Or yeah, I know you're not like that hands-on product person, but that's, I guess, where I'm just stuck, if my rambles made any sense.
No, for sure. Yeah, it's a really good question. I think that the point you made of like it might not be the most high leverage use of a product person's time is like very appropriate and like a fair thing to consider. And I would just say like, even with that, I don't think we have someone who would really excel at this. And I think there's a fair amount of like preventative work that this person could bring to like our product. You know, to say like, hey, did you think about this? Hey, what happens when, you know, the bad path happens? Yeah. And I guess like everyone else is already doing a bunch of shit, you know, that like to say, okay, you know, say Matt or Francois, our designer, you're now, you know, QA, like both of them have really critical eyes, but I don't feel like they would be able to ask the questions up front. And this is not a slight on them. It's just not their deal to say like, hey, what did we think about this? Or hey, what about that? Or hey, what happens if this thing occurs? I haven't really considered it, but that's my initial reaction, I guess.
Yeah, because I think Matt and I have developed that skill enough where up front, like we've shipped enough not fully thought out things to like know kind of, all right, we figure out what to think about a bit more. And then we also do have the benefit of, like, we have a Slack with a significant portion of our customers in it, but also like our team all is using the product daily pretty much. And so we're getting a lot of feedback from them. Oh, this is a little bit confusing. And then we can kind of take that back. And so for our way of working, it's like we're able to upfront get it close enough and then just really refine it. Like I view that refining process as almost a requirement for anything we release, where we just obsess over those kind of things. And like, I'm just like, okay, like I'm not going to get this right up front. So like, I'm not going to try to. But I think as the team expands, and if that's not as much of the focus of your company, then it's like, all right, we need to be clearer up front about what we're building. So we just don't have to worry about this as much. And for us, it's kind of like we're just really sweating those details a lot and like want to be more hands-on with it. And that's a big part of my role and Matt's role. And so I think it's just that we're focused on different things. But I can see how, in your case, I do think having someone truly own product could solve a lot of this, because otherwise you're still going to have someone up front creating all, like answering all those questions like, oh, what is this supposed to do? This is supposed to do that.
Yeah.
What if this happens? Like,
yeah.
And I think that's when you can get into trouble, is if the person answering those questions isn't a power user, isn't someone who like really deeply understands the customers. So like, do you see it? Would they be going to you to ask all that? Would you be just making things clear to a developer? Who's helping out in the upfront work?
Yeah. So I think it would be, partially me, partially Francois, our designer, who also is kind of like owning product, you know, a fair amount these days. Yeah. Cause he gets conceptually like how people use, I mean, he's not like a podcaster, he doesn't use the product, but he understands how the product works and how new features come and how they interact with other things and stuff. And just has a really good like product sense. And so, yeah, my vision would be that like they would talk to him quite a bit about how a thing is, and then talk to developers to understand some more of the technical parts of, you know, hey, where does this data go? How does this interact? I don't even know how much a QA person would need to know that stuff. Part of the motivation for this is like decreasing that iterative cycle too. You know, like I don't want to get to the point where this significantly slows us down, but if it lets us ship better stuff the first time and not have to iterate later, that's a win, because we probably like y'all, like we've had a lot of times where we release like a V1 of something and then we iterate on it over the next couple of weeks and that's great. We've also had times where we release like a V1 of something and it's not a good decision, you know, and we should have taken an extra whatever amount of time to really nail it.
Would QA fix that? Because like, I guess to me, it's the planning part that seems like the pain point rather than the checking the details, because you would, yeah, like it's part of it. To have an effective QA person, you would have to have more planning up front, which would kind of help point things in the right direction. But I think you'd need somebody or people there who can put the right plan in place, because if it's something where it's, you're only spending a little bit of time on it, the designer might not be as close to understanding like the goal and the customers as you are. And like, I could just see it where there's a bit more work. There's a good amount of work up front, but you're still having to iterate, because whoever is like at the end of the day, answering the questions of what happens when this happens, what happens when that happens, like might not be close enough to the problem. But I don't know. That's just my hunch of just talking about it.
I don't know. I guess I just feel like, I know that there is, and whether it's like a person on the team that owns this, like you're saying, maybe, or another person that we bring in that owns this, like at the, you know, having essentially three different products, hopefully releasing shit every week on all of them, like there needs to be somebody to be responsible to say, yep, this works like we said it's going to work, and it doesn't break all the obvious things that it touches. We don't have that person, you know, and like that's somebody we need to have, and it can't be me, because I don't have time, and it's just not my personality, you know, to say like I'm going to follow the checklist and I'm going to document all, like that's just not me. So like
that's the spot where I push back, where it's like, looking at it from a QA angle, it's following the checklist. Looking at it from a product angle is creating the checklist. And like, I think that is why it's from the QA angle, from the following checklist angle, it is not a super high value task, but it needs to be done.
Yep.
But when it comes to who is the one coordinating all those three apps, all those three products, all that stuff from start to finish, like that is very high leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I would probably just be thinking a bit more from that side of it, of okay, like maybe like we get this person in and they can not just hold it together for a while, but actually make the product process much stronger. And then maybe down the road, like then we do bring in a QA person if we find it's taking too much of this person's time. But like, I think it's the highest value comes in the earlier parts of the process. Unless you guys do feel like with, between you and the designer that you really do have a strong handle on this, I think that's one thing. But if you want it completely off your plate, I think the easiest would be, and I say like easy with air quotes, because it's still not easy to find this person, but like the best path would be find someone who like one person who can just oversee that whole process, get that off your plate so that they own it. And then as things go, get a little bit farther along, you can see, okay, are they doing too many low value things? How can I get things off of their plate? But like, it just seems like if you really want it off your plate, you need someone senior rather than junior to just oversee it all.
That's a fair point. I think a big question that we have right now is like, how does whoever owns product, and like that's not a person right now, like it's a little bit me, it's a little bit our designer, it's a little bit, you know, our lead engineer, and it's a little bit our like engineering manager. And that like that's broken too, I guess, because like there should be a person that owns product, but like I still need to have quite a bit of like influence and input into that, to what we're prioritizing there, I guess. But yeah, I mean, man, just in general, like I think this is like a really complicated topic, and like I don't know, like I don't know how other people do it if they feel like they do it well, because it's just kind of challenging. Like managing the coordination of all the people and the priorities and the timing is just kind of challenging, I think.
Oh no, for sure, it's something we struggle with a ton. Where there's, I mean, Matt's role is technically head of product, but I think we just kind of picked something when we bought the company. And like at that point, he was definitely like, when I was getting everything else under control, he was running with that for sure. But like we share a lot of those responsibilities where like I'll be more high level. He will talk about like the practical aspects of implementing it. And it's a really collaborative thing between he and I on product, but then like I'll own marketing. And then he'll also own the models. And like up until now, as Matt was owning product, co-owning product, but then owning models, front end and back end. And we have a good front end team. And so that wasn't taking as much of his time, but he was still coordinating it. But back end was taking a ton of time, wasn't his strong suit. And so, yeah, we just brought Ben on full time to own that and get that off of Matt's plate. But it's something where it's like, I think you need someone to truly own those processes. If it's two people, like if it is a shared role, like it is for Matt and I in product, that's fine, but it has to be like a very big priority. I think for me right now, like that's more of my priority than Matt's because he has so much else on his plate. But like, I will drop everything to make sure we are moving forward on like with the designer and all the product stuff. And I think it's like, unless you have someone who has that sort of drop everything mentality for it, it's going to languish a bit. And like, that's been our marketing, is because I prioritize product over that. And that's where there's trade-offs. It's like when no one owns it or whoever owns it is busy with other things, like it becomes a mess. And even if you have people moving things forward there, it's still just really hard to coordinate. And so it's been awesome getting Jordan in there to move forward in on his side of things, but there's still a ton we need to do. And I don't know, I think for us, it's more just getting more, and I'm probably projecting a little bit, where I just feel like in our situation, I'm really just trying to get more people to own pieces of the pie so that like we can just focus more on what we're doing individually, because it does feel like we're stretched too thin on the management layer right now. And so, yeah, getting Ben to take over the back end will be great, and then kind of slowly shifting over to some other engineering responsibilities. But it's like for now, I think I could see doing product and marketing, but I need more help on the individual. Like I can't be managing marketing and doing it. It's like, mm-hmm. I need someone to be more of an individual contributor there. But like, that's how I'm looking at it, at least, is that if I feel like I need things off of my plate, the answer so far hasn't been like more junior people, unless there's someone that can oversee that. It's been getting someone in who can just like own that and take it entirely off my plate. That's been helpful, but mm-hmm. there's still a long ways to go. And then it's like, oh yeah, what about that whole getting the profitability thing? So it's like, yeah, there's like some clearer hires we need to make now, but I think I'm gonna have to put some of those off for a bit. But that's just kind of where my head's at least.
Yeah, and I would just kind of clarify from my thinking at least that like having a person responsible for it, and that person being junior or not, is like, they're not mutually exclusive. I don't feel like if you can hire like a good, hungry designer or marketer or whatever, and they can own an aspect of your process, like, I think that's totally doable. They might not say, oh, we're going to own all of marketing, but like, you could bring in a copywriter and them just own that, to where like every time you need copy, it goes to that person. And I think where that's kind of what we're
where it's about. Gone wrong for us is for me to clarify, is like, when bringing on someone to own something requires one of us to do more things.
Yeah, totally.
And so like, that's where I feel like on bringing on someone, even if they're really skilled and they're hungry or whatever, someone's got to create better specs. Someone's got to create the testing document now. And like, who is that person? Do they have the bandwidth for it? Like, that's more what I'm talking about, is that when we've hired too early in the past, because like, then Matt and I can't do anything else, because like, now we're focusing on just like making sure their pipeline is full. And so that's more what I'm saying, is that I think from my perspective, and you obviously are in the business every day, it's like, if it's that pre-work that's going to fall to you anyways. And if you bring in this person, there's going to be more of it.
Yeah.
And so that's just what I would be cautious of, at least. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. As the team expands, it's one figuring out what roles are the most important to fill and what ones free me up the most. But then just in general, as the team expands, like, there's new needs. It's like, okay, like, now we need someone to start managing these people. They can't all just report to one person, and it just gets complicated. I think there was on Twitter, I just saw like a brief thread or just replies, where it's like Brian Castle and Matt Wensinger, they were talking about how having like a two-person developer team where one of them is a developer, they're able to move like super fast because they are like the product person, and then they're able to just directly implement what they want to build, and they've got someone working with them who's working really closely under them, and it's like, they can just hammer through all those micro decisions that someone else would have to check with someone else for. And it's like, there is the appeal of that, because when you start expanding the team, there's a point where it's like, is no going back, and it's not always about speed. But I think for us, it's less right now, we don't want to give up much speed, but it's more just getting us out of it, is how, at least for me, it is. Yeah.
Yep. No, I absolutely agree. I mean, that is, it's funny. I think we're not agreeing on the approach, but the kind of essence, right, is like, the whole impetus for this is for me to never have to think about checking something before it goes out again. You probably feel like this a little bit, is like, we're a decent sized team, but a lot of what we do still relies very heavily on me. That's really scary. You know, that like, we can be as big as we are, you as big as y'all are. And like, if you took a month off, like, everything would, you know, I don't, maybe that's me being like self-centered, but like, not everything would fall apart, but like, a lot of stuff would kind of suffer. Folks would have to really pick up. And I think that's just like, it's a vulnerability, you know, like, of the company, or like a weak point of the company to have that much reliance on any one person, kind of, even or especially me.
Yeah. And I think this is where it depends on how you're viewing it, of like, I'm not going anywhere. And so I don't mind things depending on me, where it's like, with an employee, we do our best to make sure everyone's happy and this and that, and like, and fulfilled and those kind of things. But like, it's much easier for them to leave. Like, I know, like, I'm not going anywhere. There's obviously the bus factor where like, yeah, I could just drop dead or something like that. But, and for long-term durability of the business, those are things to kind of think about. But I'm okay having responsibilities. And I think part of it is our scale that we're at. I couldn't just hire away kind of department heads for all of it.
No, sure. Yeah.
So part of it's practical. But beyond that, it's just like, I think I do add, especially when working with Matt on product, like, he is great on figuring out like what people want and ways of doing it and knowing how other tools work, but like how people approach daily fantasy sports. Whereas I'm more of the detail-oriented person of like, this looks weird, this is confusing to use, and like, we come together really well on that. And I think that'll be hard to get elsewhere. I think on marketing, we could definitely hire someone to really lead marketing, but I do a good job of it. I just don't have the bandwidth to actually like ship the things myself. And so it's like, I'm okay owning the strategy level, because I'm not going to be taking like a long sabbatical. Honestly, a couple of weeks, I don't think would be an issue right now, because I think we could set up enough plans where like, we can work on it and ensure if even on the product side, if I was gone for a couple of months, I know that they could move things forward. But I know when I'd come back, like I would have to, like, I would be going nuts because I'm like, guys, this is so ugly and it's really hard to use. But like, it would be like, they'd still like move it forward. I mean, I think I could like come in and like help clean it up a little bit. But the marketing side is where like, yeah, if I'm gone, like Jordan's going to keep working on what he's doing and could take on more responsibilities there. But like from the really high level strategy side, like that part dies if I go away. And so I'm just trying to help get some more people in on that team to keep the ball moving forward, because it doesn't bother me figuring out strategy for the next couple months or quarter or whatever it may be, and then working with the team to check in on, I mean, keep moving it forward. But it's the, I just can't be the one moving it forward is really what I've figured
out. Right.
And long term, like, yeah, if I'm doing like in 5 years, do I want to have as much ownership of these processes? Probably not. But for the time being, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
And so I'm just trying to like mentally accept like, all right, I can't jump right to that spot.
No. Yeah, for sure. And I don't want to, it's funny, like I haven't been more intentional about offloading the ultimate responsibilities of these things, because I like a lot of it. I like working. I like doing pretty much everything except for QA, but like, I really like it. And that's probably why the way we work right now, at least I am a part of a lot of what we do. So yeah, I don't think it's entirely broken, but I think I want the optionality. You know, I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, and it's always a work in progress. Like there's always going to be things to get off your plate, to get off your team's plates and that. And like, this is going to be a big focus of mine going forward, because I just need to be more deliberate about building up those structures and building up those processes and just the cliche, like working on the business kind of stuff. It's like, need to get one, just like first give myself more bandwidth to do that. And that's kind of where we are right now. But on the... You can add in a last word after this if you like, but it's like on the QA part, like I think if it's literally you hate doing this, then it's fine to hire for that. But the only thing I would say is just make sure it doesn't create more work, it's just in a different part for you, because then you're going to get pissed at that part too.
Right.
And so it's like that's all I would say is like, yeah, there's plenty of shit where it's like, I hate doing this. I can do this. I just want to hire this away. So I just don't have to think about it. But it's just making sure that I actually can stop thinking about it. And that's the challenge there.
Good discussion, man. Honestly, I appreciate the feedback and the insights. I think it was a good discussion. But honestly, would love to hear how other folks are doing this, because I think, you know, the product process is just like the enigma for a lot of us. So would love to hear how folks are doing it, especially if you think you're doing it well. Shoot us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com.
Yeah. And now, Andy? And like, honestly, like this is one of those things where the QA side of it, we don't have much experience with it. So I could be way off base. And so, yeah, people want to point me in the right direction on that. Happy to hear any feedback, any thoughts. I think, that's kind of the attitude Craig and I take with a lot of this, is we're figuring it out, sharing our thoughts, and we'll probably make a lot of mistakes along the way, but hopefully we'll get a few things right. And if anyone can help point us in the right direction, we're always grateful for that. So as Craig was saying, it's podcast@seekingscale.com. But thanks everyone for listening.